Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ed Ellinger. I'm the Commissioner of Health in the state of Minnesota, and I'm also President-elect of ASTO. And this is the first presentation I've given as President-elect, so I have to actually do two jobs while I'm up here. So I have two presentations. One is about ASTO, and one is about what we're doing in the State Health Department. And I've been known to speak very quickly, but I'm going to take my time and depend on the moderator here to make sure that I end on time. It's certainly about ASTO. ASTO is the professional organization for all the state health officials. So your staff, or the health commissioners and your health departments really should look to ASTO for a lot of activities on a whole variety of public health things. Certainly right now we're dealing with Ebola and all sorts of other things. But there, ASTO is a professional organization to try to make people like myself successful in our jobs, so use them. And ASTO also has been really active in tobacco control issues in a whole variety of ways that I'll just go through very briefly, but really helping tobacco control programs at the state level be successful, and it give us lots of support. And one of the things that we have is the position statements that ASTO puts forward, and one of the position statements is on tobacco, and it contains all of the things that Joelle was mentioning in terms of what needs to happen. So I won't go through all of those from our tobacco position paper, but it is a good advocacy organization for statewide or state efforts on tobacco control. In addition, ASTO does a lot of publications on a variety of issues, tobacco in particular. So these are really high-quality things that you can use at the state level. And ASTO has also been really trying to pull together a lot of resources in the last couple of years on e-cigarettes, as this has taken off as a considerable public health issue that we need to address. So we have this ASTO e-cig work group that meets on a virtually about every 6 weeks or so, and it really includes a whole lot of members, including our legislative liaisons, the tobacco control managers, attorneys general, national organizations and federal organizations that really are looking at e-cigarettes. And then we put on a variety of webinars. We've had a couple of e-cig webinars that we have put on, and we have one coming up very soon on the messaging around e-cigs. And then I, as the member of the board, also serve as the chair of the Tobacco Issues Forum, where, again, we have all of our partners in tobacco control really come together on a regular basis and talk about the issues, support each other, suggest each other on how we might be able to move forward, and e-cig certainly has been part of the conversation. And then, as Joelle mentioned, you know, the citizens petitioned. We've been very active in supporting a lot of the work that the Public Health Law Network has been working on in terms of petitioning the FDA on all sorts of things, menthol in particular, and e-cigarettes. So I'll get you some. And then for the second part of my program. That's ASTO, and this is what we're doing in Minnesota. And again, you know, we're like every other state agency, really up there to protect and to promote and improve the health of folks in our community. But I want to start today. I always try to put things in context. This is the birthday of William Hastie, who was the first black federal appeals judge, and I think he said something that is very appropriate for our conversation. He said, "History informs us of past mistakes from which we can learn without repeating them. It also inspires us and gives us confidence and hope bred of victories already won." That's tobacco control. We've got lots of successes and we've had lots of failures, but also history teaches us what the tobacco industry has done in the past and tells us what the tobacco industry will do in the future. And he also said, "There's no simplistic approach to worthwhile achievement in human affairs." You know, we talk about the end game of tobacco. I don't talk about the end game of tobacco because I think the tobacco industry is going to be there for a long time, and if we believe there's an end game, they're going to wait us out. So we have to keep working on this. Part of what I'm going to talk about is our youth tobacco prevention in Minnesota, because we have some data that we just released a week ago today. I think we're the first in the nation in terms of the most recent data about e-cigarette use. But we have a youth tobacco prevention focus on the state health department because in our state we've sort of divided up some of the tobacco issues when we had our tobacco settlement dollars, and the state health department is really focusing on youth use. So we do a lot of grants to local public health agencies and community organizations, particularly focusing on health equity issues. We do a lot of technical assistance, and then we do the tobacco youth survey. The youth tobacco survey really is an important public health tool. Data are really important, and we use those in terms of setting our plans and monitoring what we're doing. And we do this youth tobacco survey every 3 years, and we did it in 2014, January through March of this year, on 6th, 9th, and 12th graders in Minnesota public schools, a random sample of schools, and really I'm going to share some of the data that we have from this. Certainly one of the successes that we've had is in terms of youth cigarette use. And you can see on the top line, high school students, we've had a tremendous drop in cigarette use in the past 30 days, down to about 10% of high school students have used cigarettes in the past 30 days, dropped from 18.1% in 2011 to 10.6% in 2014. Overall, any tobacco use, so that was cigarettes, this is any tobacco use, it's dropped from 25% to 19% from 2011 to 2014. And the trend is certainly in the direction that we want to go. We think this is really important. We had a $1.60 tax increase implemented on July 1, 2013. Certainly one of the best public health initiatives that we had in that session. We've had communities engaged. We have a tobacco control network that has been very active in our state for many years and have mobilized local activities and really brought them up to the state level to really push the policy system environmental change. And our overall public health approach has been through our statewide health improvement program in every county throughout the state. We have our SHIP programs that really focus on policy system and environmental change with a community leadership team, and tobacco control has been one of the issues. So we've got statewide, it's sort of collective impact approach on tobacco control with our statewide health improvement as that backbone organization. But with the success we've had with combustibles, with youth, this goes along certainly with what Robert was talking about, the rise in electronic cigarette use. We're now up to the percent of students who have heard of e-cigarettes. High school students, 71% have heard of them, 28% have ever tried them, and 12.9% of high school students have used e-cigarettes in the last 30 days. This has increased over the last couple of years from 4% to nearly 13% of e-cigarette use. Now, these are 2014 data, so we don't have anything to compare with, but nationally on 2012, 2.8% of high school students. Minnesota, we're doing 13% in 2014. In North Carolina, 7.7% of high school students in 2013. You know, we're 12.9%. So the trend, if you look at the trends, I think every other state is probably going to see things similar to what we have in Minnesota. And the percent of students who have seen e-cigarette ads, this is what Robert was talking about in terms of 57% of high school students have seen ads on TV, 14% on the radio, 47% in stores, really where a lot of the teenagers will do their shopping, in magazines and certainly on the internet. And then just as an aside, we do have the menthol, which we are talking about, again, the flavored cigarettes and the menthol. Of percent of high school smokers who usually smoke menthols, it's about 44%. Relative to the conversation that was had a little bit ago, I forgot to mention that of high school students who used e-cigarettes, 25% were non-smokers. So 25%, 60% of users had used tobacco within the last 30 days, but 25% had never used cigarettes. So again, we got the increasing prevalence of e-cigarettes, the marketing that's going on, the fact that they're very trendy and increasing use among people who have never used them. And this is a slide that shows, you know, sort of one of our infographics about what we found in our information. The good news, combustibles are going down. Bad news is that e-cigarette use is going up. As Joel mentioned, we do tax e-cigarettes, and this points out some of the things that what's taxable and what's not. You know, certainly anything that has nicotine in it is taxable as long as it comes from tobacco. So the one-time use e-cigarettes where the nicotine is there, but the reusable, refillable components are not taxable. And cartridges containing the juice is taxable, and the cartridges without nicotine are not taxable. And certainly one of the things that I've been dealing with most recently, and another issue related to e-cigarettes, is that, you know, we legalized medical marijuana, and I'm worried about what's going to be, how the vaping is going to occur with the medical marijuana and these things. And how do you tell what they're vaping in public places? So the Minnesota e-cigarette related laws, you know, we prohibit the public the use of e-cigarettes in schools, hospitals, government buildings, and universities. So it's fairly broad expanded. We prohibit sale to minor. We require tobacco licensing of e-cigarette shops. We require behind-the-counter sales now, but we've stopped short of really making e-cigarettes part, just like regular tobacco products, in our Freedom to Breathe Act, our smoke-free law, which is one of the steps that we really need to take in the future. Certainly, we, as a public health agency, we're really interested in more research on the effects of nicotine. But we know that nicotine for young people is not a good thing. It affects brain development. It certainly is addictive, and we are particularly concerned about being a gateway, even though we don't have those kinds of data. And it certainly normalizes, e-cigarette use normalizes the use. This has been, all of these things have certainly been talked about before. But certainly, you know, just the fact that when we had a press conference on last Monday, when we released our data on our youth tobacco survey, and the students that were there really talking about how the flavors are what really gets their peers in terms of the use. If they're candy flavor, they must be safe. Tobacco companies are using the same flavor chemicals in their sweet flavored tobacco, cigar, and other products that are used in popular candy like Lifesavers and Jolly Ranchers and Kool-Aid. So we know what works. We know that increasing the price works. We know that restricting indoor use works. Youth access limitations works. And we need to continue to communicate the harms of tobacco. So as William Hastie said, you have to be there at the right time, and you've got to be equipped. This is the right time. It's the time for you to be there. It's time for tobacco control advocates to continue to be step up to the table and be powerful forces in passing laws that really restrict the use of e-cigarettes. So these are where you can get more information from ASTO, and also if you need me, I'll be glad to answer some questions.